to the question box. And we've actually covered this before, but I decided to do it in an entirely different way for this question. The question was, what is the importance of fasting? Is it a commandment for all Christians today or a thing of the past? Well, concerning commandments and fasting, it seems that there was only one time of the year when it was commanded, that is, in the law of Moses. Later on, people proclaimed some fasts and so forth, but there was only one annual one, and that was the Day of Atonement. But before we look at that, we want to look at the original occasion for the first fast that we have recorded, and that's in Exodus 34. And by the way, in lieu of having something on the overhead tonight, the handout is what we are going to be using this evening so that you can take it with you. Somebody has likely done this before, but if they did, I didn't know about it. So this is fresh, and it may not also include everything, but it included everything I could find at the time. So the very first one is in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. And as we read that, we see that so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. What you're reading, or what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 9, is a mentioning of that. It originally happened in Exodus 34 and verse 28. And so that's why both of those are listed together under number 1 on the sheet. This occasion involved a miracle because the human body cannot live without water more than 7 days. We are a great percentage of water, and if that is not replenished, we will die. And yet Moses went without water 40 days. So there had to be a miracle involved in that. Deuteronomy 9:9 explains that Moses' fasting was for a spiritual purpose for the holy law, to receive the holy law. Now, the second one on the list is for a different purpose. So, actually, in the first two that we're looking at, we find the two main reasons why fasting was done. The first one, for a spiritual purpose in connection with a spiritual event, the receiving of the law. But the second one is just a few verses later in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. And in that case, we see, "And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water, because of all your sin, which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also." Now, as we look at this list, you will find that these are the two basic reasons for fasting. For a spiritual purpose, although that may manifest itself in different ways, and because of sin. Because of somebody's own sin, because the sin of the nation, because of the fear of being punished by God, because of the fear of being punished by other nations, but it is always with respect to man's sin. So, except for the Day of Atonement, feasts are voluntary, or fasts rather, are voluntary, and they are usually found in times of crises. So let's begin with those in the Old Testament. You're going to know a lot of scriptures by the time we get done. Now, we're not going to read all of these. It would take a long time. I would encourage you to do so at home. But we're just going to look at a few and summarize some others. Well, we've already done the first two on the list, so let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, and beginning with verse 19. Or 29, rather, through 31. This shall be a statute for you forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. And do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who sojourns among you. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. Now, just so we understand the meaning of afflict your souls, let's jump ahead. We'll come back to this later, but let's jump ahead to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5. It is a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Actually, this is in the form of a question. Is it a fast that I have chosen? And we'll talk about that when we get back to it. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Notice how the parallelism there, proclaiming a fast or partaking in a fast, is the same thing, essentially, as afflicting his soul. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? So there we see the equivalent of afflicting your soul. The word fast is not actually used that I can find in Leviticus 16, and yet that is part of afflicting one's soul. We'll see another connection in another passage later on. But now let's talk about some of the rest of these. Number four, Israel fasted after going out 2 days in a row and losing a battle to the Benjamites. Remember, they were fighting against them because they refused to turn over worthless and perverted men. The nation defended those men, and so the rest of the nation went to war against them. They went out the first 2 days and lost, and so they fasted before going out the next day, Judges 20 and verse 26. Number five, in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 7, there are really two reasons that are in connection with fasting. One is because of their sins with idolatry, and they put all of their idols away on that day. And the second was because of the forthcoming battle. God was not going to work on their behalf while they were still keeping idols. So two things were done, getting rid of the idols and then fasting for the forthcoming battle. Number six, upon burying the bodies of Saul and his sons, especially Jonathan, you see several verses in connection with that. It's all basically referring to the same thing. Number seven, David fasted in hopes that his infant son might live. And by the way, let me mention that when you see a dash, that means every verse. It mentions the word fast, fasting, fastings, or whatever. So all of verses 21, 22, and 23, and also 16 and 17 of 2 Samuel are in regard to that. Number eight, David actually, for his enemies, fasted. Let's go ahead and take a look at that one. It's in Psalm 35, and we'd like to read a couple of verses before it as well. Psalm 35, beginning with verse 11. Fierce witnesses rise up, and they ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good, to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. So David was actually fasting and praying for his enemies in their time of sorrow. But that was not reciprocated on his behalf. Well, he did what was right, even if others did not. Number nine, for chastening his soul, Psalm 69:10. Number 10, due to his enemies. This was not fasting for his enemies, it was because of his enemies in Psalm 109 and verse 24. Now, in number 11, we have a very unusual fast. I guess you might call this a fake fast. This was Jezebel's plan to destroy Naboth so that she could possess his vineyard for her husband Ahab. She told the men of the city to proclaim a fast and to honor Naboth. And that's what the fasting has to do with. Of course, they did proclaim a fast, and they pretended as though they were going to honor him. And then, of course, the false witnesses came forth, testified, and he was put to death. So that was not any kind of legitimate fast. Number 12, if your sheet looks like it has 1 Kings 12:27, you may be dyslexic, or maybe the person who typed it was. It's supposed to be 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 27. And this is actually Ahab fasting in sackcloth and ashes after God has pronounced a woe and their demise upon himself and Jezebel for their wickedness. Ahab actually did humble himself before God. Number 13, Judah. They wanted to fast for success over their enemies. Number 14, the relates to Esther. When the city found out the decree that Haman had tricked the king into signing, they all fasted as a result of that, because the decree was that they might be destroyed. And then later on in Esther 4:16, Esther asked people to fast for her as she approached the king. She could have lost her life for having done that, Esther 4:16. Then in number 16, in Esther 9:31, they were to remember this event every year, and that would involve fasting. Now, in number 17, Ezra 8:21 and 23, Ezra fasted. He had told everyone about how great God was and how God protects them. And so as they traveled back to Jerusalem from captivity, he was too embarrassed to ask for protection, because he'd already said God protected them. So he fasted in that regard for the safe journey. Nehemiah, number 18, he fasted because of the lack of walls around the city of Jerusalem. And, of course, as you know, he actually went to Jerusalem and they rebuilt those walls. But it grieved him to the point of fasting that they had no protection from their enemies. Number 19, because of their sins, Nehemiah fasted. The people had been guilty of sins in the past. They were at the current time even to some degree. And so the fast was in response to that situation. Now let's go to the passage in Isaiah 58. We read one verse a moment ago. And let's read all four verses. They all mention fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, beginning with verse 3. "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice?" Again, notice the parallelism. Why have we fasted? Why have we afflicted our souls? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, and that you cover him and hide not yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. And so as you can tell, God is not really pleased with his people. They were using the fast as kind of leverage to get what they wanted, but they were not sincere in what they were doing. Let's read the next one also, Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 14 and just verse 12. The prophet writes, recording God, "When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence." Why would God say that? Because it was too late. They had had ample opportunities to be able to show some kind of sincerity, some type of real spirituality, but they had not done so. And so he refused to accept any fasts or any offerings from them. All right, number 22, also from Jeremiah 36, they heard God's word of condemnation, and it may have caused them to fast temporarily, but they never repented of their sins. Number 23 is an unusual one. We have a pagan king who fasted so that God would preserve Daniel in the den of the lions, Daniel 6:18. And in Daniel 9:3, Daniel fasted for the sins of the people. Joel mentions that Israel was fasting for in order to avert destruction, several verses there. And of course, you remember what happened with Jonah when he preached in Nineveh. They actually repented in sackcloth and ashes. They fasted in order to avert God's wrath, and he did postpone his wrath upon that nation. Number 27, again, was the fasting for God, Zechariah, that they had done, 7 and verse 5. And then finally, the last mention I could find in the Old Testament, was that God was going to turn fasting into feasting. Zechariah 8:19. Now, why do we say this might not be all of the cases? Well, because sometimes it might, instead of using the word fast, simply say that they neither ate nor drank. And so there may be something that is left out, but this is what we can find, and you can see that the reasons center around the first two that we pointed out. Now, what about the New Testament? Well, that's on the other side. The first mention is of Anna, and this was not a one-time thing for her. This was a way of life for her, reading Luke chapter 2 and verse 37. The second one is Jesus during his temptations in the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Number three, as Jesus is teaching, he mentions that the Pharisees fasted, but the purpose was to call attention to themselves, not as a legitimate purpose, not as a means of showing humility toward God, but just to call attention to themselves. Their giving was for the same purpose. Their praying was for the same purpose. Not really directed at God, but so-called directed at God, but really for each other. And of course, that Jesus condemned. Number four, we have in both Matthew and Mark and Luke the question of why did Jesus' disciples not fast? And of course, you remember the answer, that they are still with the bridegroom. The day shall come when the bridegroom shall no longer be with them, and then they will fast. Number five, the multitude, I don't know that they intended to fast, but they had been listening to Jesus teach for 3 days. I wonder how many of that multitude would do that today. But they were so thrilled to hear the teaching of Jesus that they did not even eat for 3 days. And so Jesus provided food for them, lest some of them faint on the way home. Number six. Remember, some demons would not depart except by prayer and fasting. I think we dealt with that earlier. Number eight, Cornelius. This was simply his own devotion. I don't know that anyone had given him a specific command, but he saw a vision while he was engaged in a fast. And so this was just his character, that he did this on occasion. Number nine, the brethren fasted when they sent out missionaries, namely Paul and Barnabas. Number 10, churches fasted in connection with appointing elders, Acts 14, verse 23. Number 11, there's simply, and I said we'd have another one that equated afflicting your souls with fasting. This is in Acts 27, verse 9. And all it says is simply that the fast had, I can't remember whether it was appeared or they had missed it or whatever. But anyway, it was referred to as the fast. That's a reference to the Day of Atonement, Acts 27 and verse 9. Another one, number 12, Paul's shipmates had fasted for a couple of weeks, not necessarily on purpose. They were afraid they'd throw it all up if they ate. And so he encouraged them to eat because they needed some strength because they were going to soon run aground, Acts 27, 33. Now, we have a couple left. In 1 Corinthians 7, 5, Paul says that Christian couples should only be separate from one another for a spiritual purpose, for a fast. and that they should then come together again as husband and wife, lest temptation might enter into the picture. So there again is a spiritual purpose for fasting. And then finally, number 14, Paul mentions that he had been in fasts often. He mentions this in 2 Corinthians 6:5 and 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. So what do we see as we look at these lists of events in the Old and in the New Testament? What we see is that fasting is for spiritual betterment, whether the giving of the law of Moses, whether for clarity of thought. It may have a spiritual purpose connected with it, just for prayer and meditation, and not bothering to eat or, you know, have any association with things of this world, but to concentrate on spiritual things. So that is the one purpose that we mentioned at the outset, and as we saw in many of the examples. Or, second, it may be because of dire situations caused by one's enemies, or caused by one's own sins. When you realize that you have done something wrong, this is a severe thing. When David realized the enormity of what he had done in committing adultery with Bathsheba, he wrote two psalms. I don't know that it says he fasted in connection with them. He might have. But he was concentrating then on the spiritual and upon what he has done. So that might just naturally take away your desire for food, or it could be intentional. But when you realize your own sins, it may cause you to want to fast. Now, in the New Testament, we lack a commandment to engage in fasting. We see that it is more or less a practice, such as Anna, or such as Jesus fasting, or as Paul fasting. They apparently determined their own times when they would do this. Of course, the Pharisee said, I fast twice in the week, but again, that was for show or bragging rights more than it was to accomplish something appropriate. So those are the purposes and why we might engage in fasting, but no, there's no command. Jesus is our atonement. We do not have a day of atonement where we afflict our souls and engage in fasting. There's no commandment to do that, as there was in Leviticus chapter 16. So it is up to us as to when and how, or how often, we might desire to engage in fasting. It is assumed that there might be times. These reasons that we have given are just as valid today as what they were back then. Hopefully, we're not under attack, and that's our reason, but there could be spiritual reasons in our life or in the life of the church or in the life of this country where we might engage in fasting. Now, is it a thing of the past? Probably largely. As we learned last Sunday night, this congregation likes to eat. So I don't know how fasting fits in with that, but we don't know, and we're not going to ask, and we certainly don't want anybody to brag like the Pharisee did. So it's largely something we may not know. concerning others or that we need to know. However, it's still not a bad idea for the same two purposes as what we've seen in the scriptures tonight. If you're not a child of God and you realize the enormous offense that your sins have put before God, you may wish to fast, you may wish to pray, you may wish to devote yourself to serious study to find out what is pleasing to God. And when you do that, you'll find out that, first of all, you've got to trust Him. You must have faith in God. And then the very reason why you're upset is because of sin, and you've got to repent of those sins. We are people who commit sin before a holy God. And so our attitude should be to get rid of those things in our lives as we discover them. When somebody becomes a Christian, they may not know everything. They haven't studied the entire Bible. There may be some things that they're still doing, phrases that they're still saying, behaviors they still have, and they don't even realize yet that these things might be an offense to God. So as we find out, however, then we need to take the appropriate action and repent. We need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, before men, and then be buried with Him in baptism so that the blood of Jesus, who gave Himself as our atonement, can wash away all of our sins. If you have not obeyed the gospel and you know what the scriptures teach concerning that, we invite you to come. If not, please give it your utmost attention, because there's nothing more important in this world than being right with God and having sins forgiven. If you've already done that and have not been living as close to God as you should, if you have some sins that you might need to repent of this evening, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.